podcast on the planet, where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we are going to Utah. We're going to talk to Valerie Holden. Now, Valerie is an ex-police officer. I love that. And you know what? She talks about it with such joy. I know that she has really made an impact in the people that she has served. Talk to her a little bit about that. But now she has transitioned to something a little bit more even keeled. She has Oracle cards, and she's also doing quantum healing. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What is a quantum healing? Everyone is into metaphysics now because we understand that we are in 5G, that we are in a transitional state, that we are in a portal. Right? Maybe you can't see the whole, but believe and trust. COVID was the perfect pause to prepare us for this entry into the next dimension. We've got artificial intelligence. We've got robotics. We've got a lot of stuff going on. So we're going to talk to Valerie about that and a whole lot more. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Valerie?
Hi, April, and hi, Brains. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're here with us, too. Tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, as you said, I'm a retired police officer, but I'm transitioning into helping people live their ultimate life, mind, body, and spirit. And I do that through traditional methods as well as my spiritual woo stuff.
Okay. Now, everybody has a different definition of woo. Some people think that it's demonic. Some people think that it's metaphysical. Some people think that it's trickery. Define woo for us.
For me, woo is an alternative type techniques that I use. Like you mentioned the oracle cards and the quantum healing, and both of those tap into spirit, divine, the universe, God, whatever people call that, the higher power, and we get messages. The oracle cards are a way to get messages from the divine, as well as when I do quantum healing, the client is actually connecting with their higher self, and we're able to get answers from the higher self to help the client move along in life.
What is it in a deck of cards that can not predict the future, but give us guidance, give us intuition, give us insight, alleviate fear, answer questions? Because I'm going to tell you something real quick. I had a girlfriend that I worked with at the gas and electric company. Three Hispanic ladies. They used to go across the border all the time to get their tarot read. Come on, April, come go with us. Come go with us. And I was like, no, you know, I'm this devout Christian. Hallelujah. We don't do that. You know, we don't deal with that. It's trickery. It's bamboozery. It's not good. So one day she brought in a book. And I said, okay, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to let you read my tarot. She pulled the cards, she referred to the book, and Valerie, within 30 days, every single thing she said came true. I was a nervous wreck. And I said, you know what, how can a deck of cards, and it was no rhyme or reason, it wasn't like she shuffled and anything like that, it was just what fell out. How does that work?
Well, I don't actually predict the future. When I'm working with the cards, it's sort of hitting on what's going in your life right now. And what's interesting is I do a weekly oracle card reading that I send out to people, as well as putting it on Facebook. And the comments that I get sometimes, so you pull a card, and then I've got the book that gives the information. And sometimes the whole message is important. Sometimes it's just a sentence or just a couple words that hits. But lately, when I've been doing it over the last few months, it's been a theme. You know, what is it guiding your life along, getting rid of the things that no longer serve you? And that'll come up one week. And the next week, we'll just sort of relate to what happened the week before. So pretty much this whole year, each week, everybody's been moving along with their life. But yeah, it's not predicting the future when I do it. It's just making you aware of things that are going on in your life now and things that could be changed or things maybe you need to watch out for in your life.
And clarity. But I think that there has to be an element of belief. I don't think That's just according to me, brains. Okay. I don't think that you could just not be engaged in this because it's a synchronicity, it's an alignment. You know, like she didn't ask me very many questions when she did the, which is a little different, but when she did the tarot for me, she didn't ask me very many questions. But she looked at the card and looked at my personality. And for some reason, after she told me this, I wrote it all down. I said, I want to see if this is really going to work. And things just kind of fell in line. I don't understand how that works. You know, is it mystic? Is it magic? I still, again, I don't know how it works. And you could, maybe if I studied it, but you could read my cards today. And I might even ask you to pull a card for me at the end. But read the card. And if a person is in alignment or gullible or vulnerable, they might fall right into that. How do we keep ourselves clear as far as the messages that we're getting and the person that's delivering them? Because you're a channel. You're not the one that's actually going to make these things happen. You are the vessel that the information comes through. Am I correct?
Yes. And when I'm pulling a card for somebody, unless they have a specific question about their career or a relationship or something specific, I just ask, what is in the best interest of April today? What do we need to know for her best and highest good? And then I'll pull a card and read the message. And then I'll ask you, did anything in that message resonate with you? And then we'll talk about that. And so it's you helping you get more clarity on things. And we'll
Yeah.
discuss what's going on in your life.
You said some key words that are in my daily mantra. You know, I always ask the universe to bring me the best and highest good. And people, you have to ask for what you want, you know, and you
Exactly.
have to be specific. You can't tell me a little bit about this quantum healing. How does that work in conjunction also with the oracle readings? And what is quantum healing?
The quantum healing that I do is quantum healing hypnosis technique, and it was developed by a woman by the name of Dolores Cannon. She's got a lot of followers. She's no longer here, but she was out there for a while. And it's a combination of visiting past life, so past life regression, and then connecting with the client's higher self, and then having the higher self do a healing on the client, which could involve mind, body, or spirit. So when we're visiting a past life, we'll connect and we connect with the higher self. We'll ask the higher self why they showed the client that particular life. And for example, someone that might be afraid of water in this life may have drowned because we do go through the death in that particular life. And as to get some clarity on some things that are going on in the life now, I had a client who was sort of. She wouldn't get out there. She had some low self-esteem. And when we did the quantum healing session, we found out in a previous life, she was like a leader in a tribe. She was a healer and a leader, and people looked up to her. And by seeing that still all the good things she had in that life are still inside her, the power that she had. And so now she can tap into that. And I'm getting tingles as I say that. One thing that I've learned as I've been doing this work is we all receive messages different ways, but I know if I'm on the right track explaining something, I get tingles or little things on my body. So that's the universe's way of telling me right now that this is information I need to share with people. People need to know things that happened to us previously can have an effect in this life. And sometimes once we become aware of them, sometimes that problem just goes away, or now we know it's something that we can work on.
Before COVID, I had was going to take a trip to New York, and there is a camp there, a retreat area there, that they do past life regressions. And I said, "Well, am I going to do it?" I talked my girlfriend into going with me. I didn't want to go by myself, and so she says, "Okay, let's go." And then COVID kind of stopped that, you know, for me. But I know that I have gotten messages in this life from a previous life. I've had an out-of-body experience in this life. I've had incredible downloads. I've had a spiritual intervention where I knew that I was Chinese in a previous life. And I was like, Chinese? I was Mongolian. And it kept calling me, you have to go to China, you have to go to China. Well, Valerie, I went to China and I tell you, it was incredible. Got with the driver, and the driver says, oh, okay, we're going to take you to the clinic. I said, the clinic? I said, I didn't come here. My insurance don't cover me in Beijing. He goes, no. But the doctor told me about my past life, my present life, my future life. He looked at my tongue. He did my liver, my kidney, and my spleen. Totally external, no invasive, no blood, anything. It was incredible. And everything he said came true. So brains, again, I go into it with a side eye. Okay, because again, I want to see if this really resonates with what I'm doing and what I'm saying. But also, I look into the person that is the conduit that is given to me to deliver this message, because that's a lot of heavy lifting, Valerie. What do you do to make sure that you are a clean conduit? Messages are not getting mixed up, but also you're not getting bombarded and overwhelmed, because that's a lot.
Well, before a session, I make sure that I protect myself. But during my regular life, I use crystals. I have the singing bowls. I do sound healing, and so I do that with myself. I now sometimes I actually have a singing bowl that is the frequency of Om, so it's like the ultimate frequency.
Oh,
And
really?
sometimes I'll take my glass bottle, put some water in there and just stick it in the bowl and tap it a few times, and that water just gets infused with that frequency.
Really? Because I've
Yeah.
got a bunch of singing bowls right here on my shelf, but I didn't know that there was one. I had to go to my store. I didn't know that there was one with Om. I've tried to do that Om. It takes a lot. I'm really into mudras now. Hand mudras and that works too. But these are ancient wisdoms, modalities, spiritualities, connective gifts that were before Christ's brains. These are centuries old. Don't get it twisted. Don't think that this is the text is the only thing. You live in a very conservative state, Is your modality and your methodology well received?
It is. So for brains that aren't familiar with Utah, there's a lot of LDS people here. And so when I moved here, people thought that this wouldn't go over, but I've been surprised. There's a lot of people that belong to the church that actually come to see me. And that religion is very spiritual as well. So an interesting thing, they had a temple here, and if you're not part of the church, you're not supposed to go in the temple, but they just redid it and they had an open house. And there's one room that's their prayer room, their spiritual room. And when I walked in there, I started getting tingles all over my body as if I was getting a connection from the divine just being in that room. And that was amazing. As soon as I walked out of the room, it went away. But so I sort of felt like that was sort of their way of accepting me, accepting me there and giving me some spiritual healing while I was there.
Well, I had told you my experience. I was the outreach coordinator for the American Red Cross. And a lot of people, they got a lot of opinions. They think they know and they don't know what they don't know. Oh, well, April, you may not want to go to the LDS church. They don't like black people. And if you're not a part of the religion, you can't go into church and blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know what? I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than what you think. I've got my own mind. I go there. Number one, Latter-day Saints. Let me tell you, brains, they're the most prepared people on the planet. If anything goes down, you want to be with them. I mean, they've got storage and medicines and food and they're very giving. This group of individuals put a prayer circle around me and put me in the middle. And they prayed harder for me. It makes me want to tear up. They prayed harder for me than I have been prayed for in a Southern Baptist church. So don't tell me that. When folks knock on my door, I acknowledge that because you are trying to bring me salvation. Whatever that looks like, whatever package, you've got the courage to do that, just like you. You've got the courage to put yourself on the line because all spirits that come through are not good spirits. Am I right? You got to have the art of discernment. So let's talk about that. You have put your life on the line for years as a police officer. Why did you want to be a police officer?
Actually, I just sort of fell into it, but I loved it. It's funny, when I lived in Los Angeles, I was going to test for the sheriffs and I was too short. At that time, you had to be a certain height. And when I got this job, I was living in the Las Vegas area, and it opened up, and I love, first of all, I love driving around and talking to people, and you get to do that every day. But what I also love is part, it's in here, is helping people solve their problems, which sort of transitioned into what I'm doing now. But, you know, people only call the police when they need help for something. And
That's
so
right.
that's what I was able to go out there and help them. And sometimes you see the same people over and over, and it's nice when you can actually get them from here to here because you're able to solve their problem. I made a lot of friends too, because you work in the same area, at least I did. We work in the same area most of the time, and you get to know the people in that area and they become friends. And so it was really nice.
You know, you see a lot of challenges too. And so that is good that you were what I like to call a peace officer. As you said, when you call the police, brains, you're not calling them for milk and cookies. You're calling them because there is a kerfuffle. There's a problem. And again, you are a giver. You have put yourself on the line. I know when all the stuff was going on a few years ago, the political upheaval and Black Lives Matter and all that, defund the police. I said, are you kidding me? Defund, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Who are you going to call in the event of that? And, you know, people that put their life on the line every day, you run across adversity. You know, if you got a good, like you said, if you build a relationship with the officers in your community, you know who's coming through. They know you. They know your temperament. They know, you know, how to calm you down if there's a domestic violence or your kids run away. Whatever it is, you have somebody to rely on. And so I thank you for that. I really do. And I'm so glad that you got out safely. How long were you an officer?
20 years.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. Tell me one of your favorite stories about being an officer.
One of my favorites. Funny, because there's so many things and people think they're exciting, but for us, sometimes it's just part of the job. But you know, well, two things real quick. Once I started doing a lot of the spiritual work, other officers would tell me when I showed up on a scene, the scene would just calm down and get peaceful, which was interesting. But okay, you know how we pull people over to give them tickets. And so before you pull the car over, you have in your mind whether you're going to give a ticket or not, pretty much. And people can always talk themselves into a ticket if you were only planning on giving him a warning. But
Right. You can overthink it, overtalk it, brains.
Exactly. So this one time, this car was just speeding through this residential area. It's supposed to be 25 and they were probably going 45. And so in my mind, I knew I'm going to give this person a ticket. And when I pulled it over, I don't remember what she said, but this lady had me laughing so hard that I couldn't give her a ticket. So brains, that's not always going to work, but if you have something funny to say or just be nice to the officer, you're not always going to get a ticket.
I know. My husband just had a great story. He just retired, I was telling you, a few days ago, from 25 years of service. And he was driving down the street and he saw these two young girls from Utah, actually. Or were they from Arizona? Utah or Arizona, one of them. And they had on pajama bottoms and little crop tops. And they were waving, vehicle's down. And my husband says, something about this is not right. He pulls over, he asks him, oh, we ran out of gas. He goes, okay, well, stay right here. I'll get someone to bring you gas. Come to find out, these were two runaways.
Oh no.
San Diego is a thoroughway for human trafficking. If it had been one more car or one other person, so being alert, being concerned, and engaging, having a conversation, not being combative, and that's what people want to do. They want to challenge you. And that's not what you do. We have to follow the rules of engagement, the rules of law. So I can imagine, did your coworkers when you were a police officer know that you had this gift?
Yes. Well, they knew I was doing some of these trainings, and in fact, one of my coworkers, I would look at him sometimes, and he would sort of get all weird, like, "You're trying to hypnotize me." He would just freak out. It's like, "No, I'm not. I'm just looking at you."
Well, you have very beautiful eyes, and so that can be very hypnotic.
Thank you.
What would you tell a person that is just in a quandary right now? They just are lost. They just don't know where they are, what direction to go in, who to trust. How do you get them to open up and engage?
I just talk to them and ask them questions, and there's exercises that I can do, or even, taking them through the quantum healing. And there's another technique that I can do that it's not as long and it just gets right to the higher self. Let's find out what's in your heart. Let's find out why you're supposed to be here. You have a connection. The oracle cards can give us some information, but you're here for a reason. And let's find out what that reason is. You might be living it right now, and you just, because of the way the world is right now with social media and people being rude, and someone might not be like everybody else, but you know what? That's okay, because I wasn't like everybody else myself. My brother used to tease me all the time. I'm into the spiritual things, the supernatural, and that wasn't the rest of my family. So I was sort of, I'm not going to say I was an outcast, but I wasn't like everybody else. And when we're not like everybody else, that means we're special. You just have to realize you're special. You have special gifts. And so let's figure out what that is, and let's make sure you're living that gift. And our purpose, sometimes we think we need to have this huge purpose, be out there, like, someone's famous. Tony Robbins, I love Tony Robbins, but not all of us are meant to be Tony Robbins. Sometimes I find this with myself. Sometimes our purpose at this moment is just to be at this place at this time, because you might just need to open a door for someone that can't do it themselves. You might be there to smile at somebody or just say a nice word to somebody, and that's what changes their life, because they were feeling horrible themselves, and the fact that you are friendly and nice to somebody just changed their complete world around. So our purpose can be just to be in that place and just to be kind to other people. We don't have to be huge on billboards. Just being kind and helping other people is a wonderful
And like
purpose.
being present,
Exactly.
being aware, being loving. So we've asked the deep questions. Let's ask some fun questions of you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. If you could time travel, past, present, or future, and you've had a lot of experience, with past life regression, where would you land and why?
Oh, goodness. I think I would travel forward. Well, a couple of my clients, when I've done a session, they've actually been ending up in space. And what was interesting during a session, I was actually able to ask a question myself, and my mom had passed on. And so I was asking about her, and they said she was like following her journey. And it was sort of like, I'd like to see what she was doing. What are we doing as we're, finding our journey? So that's actually, if I could do it consciously, find out what happens to us when we're not here. What do we do when we're in that spiritual realm? I'd like to find that
Exactly.
out.
Because I hear a lot of people talk about their soul contract, and how we have options and choices in our next destination. Right, you don't have to believe me, but I know, because I've had an out-of-body experience. I know that this is not it. So if you think that this is it and it's all there ever was and will be, you're in for a big surprise. Okay, a big surprise. If you were a flower in the garden, Valerie, what flower would you be?
I love lilies. Lilies and tulips, orange tulips mean passion. So I love orange tulips and lilies. I don't know if they really go together in the garden, but I'd make it work.
You make it work, absolutely. You're an appliance in the kitchen. What appliance would you be?
A food processor. Actually, no, I have one of those ninja ovens that is an air fryer and an oven and a griller. I love that thing. I don't know that I want to be one, but the food processor, because I get to mix everything up.
That's
you
good.
Can do
That's
everything.
Good. I think I want to be the spice grinder. I want to do that. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
I think I would be a cat. I never had cats until about a year ago. And I just love her. She's so different. She's like sort of aloof. She runs the house now. We have three dogs and a cat, and she's in charge.
Okay. All right. I always choose to be the party animal.
That's
Absolutely.
funny.
No, my spirit animal is an elephant. And I see that. I'm getting ready to go to Thailand, and so we're going to go to an elephant preserve. And
Oh,
I
neat.
am like, they're big, they're massive, but they're smart. They never forget. They travel in packs. They love their children. They're good parents. They're vegetarians. There's a lot about elephants I like. So I'm going to look forward to that. I'll come back and report back to you.
Yeah.
What do you want your legacy to be?
I would like my legacy to be known as that I was able to help people better their life, achieve their ultimate life. That I was able to spread that you can figure out your purpose, you can live that life. You just have to keep going, little baby steps at a time. Breakthrough though, we don't need to be afraid. We've got the divine to always help us, and it's there guiding us as we go. And just follow the messages that we're getting through our intuition. And I just want to know that I was able to help people tap into their intuition and listen to their divine purpose and actually achieve their divine purpose.
Well, I think that you are on the right path because I feel your energy. I see your smile, your dedication, your love for humankind. It shines through. And so, it takes a lot of work, like I said, to be a conduit, to be a channel, to carry a pistol. Well, again, that takes courage. And I was telling you that I had another one of my guests on the show, and she was a bobby in London for 30 years and never carried a gun. She never used her knife, and she used her billy club every now and then. And there are things that happen there. People get shot and killed and stabbed and all that kind of stuff. But I was just wondering just the mindset of not police officers, because I know that you have a responsibility, but of civilians to honor and respect people in uniform. When you were a kid in school, when the police officer came or when the fire truck came, you just looked at them with these starry eyes. So continue to honor that. Continue to honor people's wisdom. Continue to honor people like Valerie, that again is willing to put herself out there for the betterment of you, Brains. Please tell my Brains how to get in contact with you. I'd love for them to work with you. Do you have your own set of Oracle cards that you've created?
I do not. That's a dream of mine to have my own set one day. But I have a website. It's valerieholden.com, valerieholden.com. And they can go on there. They can click a button to have a clarity call with me, where I get to talk to them for about 30 minutes or so. And let's just get clear on what they want in their life and see if maybe I can help them with that, or even just give them a few tips. Also, I have a 5 ways they can discover their passions on there, and they can just get that little download as well.
Go in and check it out, Brains. I'm telling you, you didn't pay to get up in here. At least you can pay attention.
I would love to help as many brains as I can.
Good. And you know what? The insight and just the passion. I see it exuding out of her pores. So I need you to do me a favor too, Brains. I need you to go in right here. You see this address right here? I need you to love, like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Those numbers are getting up there. And I'm telling you, when we hit that 1,000 on YouTube, there's going to be a celebration. Oh, yes, we can do it online. Okay, so go in and we are going to have some great conversations. We are not going to be judgmental. We're going to be open-minded. We're going to love. We're going to respect. We're going to honor. Okay? Thank you so much, Valerie. You are the best.
Thank you, April. Bye, brains.
Bye, Blaine.